It's wonderful to be back among you once again. Had a great vacation, but I am returning fat, happy, and ready to get back to work. On the journey through life, it is tempting to think that the most important thing is how far you get, but it's not. No, the most important thing is whose hand you are holding along the way. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask that as your Spirit goes with us through our journey in life, that that same Holy Spirit would now open our eyes to find our own place in this great sacred drama called the Holy Word. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's amazing how much movement there is in the Bible. When Adam and Eve leave the Garden of Eden, they and their descendants start walking around. And right up to the final pages of the New Testament, nobody seems to settle down for long. In fact, it is when the people do stop moving that they always get into their biggest trouble with God. Because when we stop moving is when we stop praying and stop taking risks and stop living by faith. It's all a way of telling God just to leave us alone. We're going to settle for the life the way we've got it. It's good enough, we say. But it's not. Not to God. And not really to you either. This is why we constantly find Jesus inviting people to leave home in order to follow him. Because the point of life is not to settle. The point is to know God. And God is on the move through history. So if you're going to know him, you too have to be on the move. You have to learn how to walk with God. I hope this theme of walking with God begins to resonate with you because I'm going to spend the entire year preaching on it. Today, we begin with the brief story of Enoch, who stands as pretty much the abiding symbol of what it means to walk with God. When Enoch was 65, his wife gave birth to their son named Methuselah. Now, to have a baby when you're 65 is enough to make you start walking with God if you haven't begun already. But Enoch walked with God so long and so closely that eventually he got closer to God's home than to his own. And so one day, God said to Enoch, "Why don't you just come on to my home?" Enoch walked with God, and he was no more because God took him. That is pretty much the point behind everything that the church does, to help you find your way to your true home with God. But now the thing that makes heaven so wonderful is the presence of God. And that's something that you can also have today along the way. So perhaps we should say that the point of what the church is doing is to help you be at home with God even while you are still along the way. We first meet Enoch in a genealogical list of 10 names that connect Adam to Noah. All 10 of these successive families are living outside the Garden of Eden, clearly, in a world that is going from bad to worse. It is as if when Cain murdered his brother, violence and greed was unleashed. And in all of these successive families, we find that they are living in a community that is so far from paradise. And most of the families are choosing to invite the violence and greed into their heart. And it is spreading like cancer throughout this early beginning of civilization. By the time we get to Noah, we're told that God was sorry that he had even created humanity. When you read through this genealogical list in Genesis chapter 5, there are two things that are striking about the genealogy. The first is that everybody's living a very long time. Most of them are making it like past 900 years. The second thing that's striking is that nobody does anything remarkable. 900 years of living, and there's not a thing that's worth writing down next to anybody's name. Nothing, which it's kind of remarkable how unremarkable people could be with 900 years of opportunity. So that by the time we get to the end of the list, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God decides that this experiment with longevity is not working out. More years is not necessarily better years. As our early history proves, that just gives us more opportunity to get in very big trouble. And so in Genesis 6, verse 5, we're told that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was evil constantly. Now, the one notable exception to this, in this whole list of successive families, is Enoch. Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. And when the genealogy gets to his name, it does stop to make a very remarkable comment. It tells us, "And Enoch walked with God." In the midst of a world that was getting increasingly violent and evil and dark, Enoch chose to walk with God. Like Enoch, you and I also live in a world that has wandered a long, long way from paradise. The violence, the greed runs rampant. In the hearts of those around us, and perhaps in your own heart, we find that evil and the hurt that evil causes is still plaguing us. And the snake that tempted Adam and Eve to sin some days appears to be the only creature that took seriously God's commandment to multiply. The snakes are everywhere. You may live among snakes. You may have been raised by a snake. You may work with snakes. You may work for a snake. And it is tempting to think that you have to act like a snake if you're going to survive. But you are not a snake. You have been created with the freedom to walk like a human being. But to be truly human means that you have to be able to walk with God. When you choose to walk with God, you find that you are also being freed to make other choices. The snakes, the devil, cannot make you do anything. The devil cannot make you settle for evil in this world or for the evil that is hanging around in your own hearts. It doesn't matter how entangled or compromised or confused you may get with the evil around us, you still have the freedom to make choices. The devil can never take that away from you. The devil cannot make you do anything. The devil will only tempt you to be afraid that you don't have choices anymore. But you do. When I was a young boy walking to school, I used to dread having to walk by one particular house because it had the meanest, most ferocious dog always hiding under the porch. This dog would always wait until I got right in front of his house, and then he would tear after me, growling and barking and foaming at the mouth. He got right up to me, he would lunge always for my throat. But then, up in midair, with all four paws in the air, he would stop. It'd be like he hit a force field, and he would fall back down on his neck. Because he was leashed. Every day we would go through this same terrifying routine. The dog never changed his part. I never stopped being afraid. But the dog never got me because of the leash. The devil is leashed. He can scare you, but he cannot hurt you. It will not help to act like a crazed dog yourself. You don't have to simply bark at those who make you afraid. That's not going to do any good. You don't have to get tough and mean and foam at the mouth. No, you can be a human being. But only if you're paying attention to the God who is walking beside you. This image of walking with God is an image of communion, of intimacy and friendship. Thomas Aquinas, the greatest theologian of the Middle Ages, has claimed that the point of all the theology he wrote was to help humans know how to be the friend of God. He says that we can be and are called to be and must be God's friend. For that is what our life is. It is a life of ever deepening friendship with God. And as with any ever deepening friendship, there is more and more and more of God for you to know. Now, I find that some of us are not so comfortable or at least familiar with this image of being the friend of God. Some prefer different images or different models of talking about God. Many prefer the duty model, by which God just gives us the commands and it's our duty to fulfill them. Just go walk past the mad dog and stop whimpering. Others prefer the security model, by which God somehow magically makes all the mad dogs disappear. Good luck with that one. Many are most of all familiar with the judgmental model of God, which allows you to be angry at the bad dogs and to make sure that no bad dogs are allowed in your church. You can even get judgmental yourself and tell all the bad dogs they're going to hell. But there's nothing very remarkable about those forms of religion. No, if you want to do something remarkable with your life, if you want to, like Enoch, stand out in the great genealogy of history, then let us talk about you as the friend of God. Now, this is no ordinary friend that you've got. Remember, we are talking here about the triune God. And in the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God has already found all the love that he needs contained within the Trinity itself. So it is not out of loneliness that God wants to be your friend. No, the Spirit adopts you into the triune fellowship, into all the perfect love that is already being enjoyed. No, God does not want to be your friend out of need, but out of delight. Isn't this wonderful news? Finally, you have a friend who is not needy. There is one who wants to walk beside you out of sheer delight. Is this not at the core of the very story of Jesus? God was so delighted with you that in Jesus he came to be with you, to find you, to walk beside you. On the cross he died, forgiving you for all the stupid things and the sins that you committed, acting like a snake or a mad dog. And in the resurrection, he rose that you too might rise to a whole new life. A life in which you are at home with God. When we read through the Gospels, one of the things that consistently keeps appearing is how amazed people are by Jesus. They are amazed at his teaching. They are amazed at his miracles. But most of all, they are amazed by his identity. That in Jesus Christ, they're discovering this one who is God with us. God among us, God in the flesh, one who is fully God and fully human. And as you come to see that's who is with you, it changes you because now you too become fully human, what you were created to be from the beginning, fully human. The Spirit who binds you to Jesus starts to give you his own full humanity, his own identity, and his own identity with the Father, so that you discover you too are the beloved. That's what changes things. Changes your whole life. This is why C.S. Lewis said that faith begins not with comfort, but with dismay. It is God who is walking beside you through life. Whether you're paying attention or not, he's still there walking beside you. Think about that this week. Think about the fact that God is beside you as you make choices this week, as you drive to work, as you wipe little noses, as you go through all the ordinary routines of life. Remember that it is God who is beside you, making it all an extraordinary means of grace. And this week, when you once again confront your limitations, think about what it means that it is God who is walking with you. Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Or as the actual translation of the Hebrew says, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. I love this part. When we are not, God takes us. He still chooses to call us friend. He takes us as friend, even when we are not. When you are not certain, God still takes you because he is certain. When you are not healthy, God still takes you because He is whole and complete. When you are not strong, God still takes you because He has all the strength of heaven and earth. When you're not employed, God still takes you because He doesn't really need a lot of help anyway. When you're not in a happy home, God will still take you because He has another home waiting for you. God doesn't take you because you're doing such a good job with life all on your own. No. He takes you because He delights in you. By grace, in Jesus Christ, He has found you. By grace, in the Holy Spirit, He is continuing to walk with you to this very day. And by grace, you will be brought home to the Father who will call you His beloved. In the meantime, your calling is to be amazed by all the grace that you have received along the way. That will change you. It'll make you grateful. And only grateful people do remarkable things. Do take us, O God. Take all of our lives and change us, that our own delight might be simply to walk a little closer to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.